In Psalm 145, David begins to reflect on the goodness of God. And doesn't begin to, but he starts off in the first verse anyway. Of the things that God has done and the goodness that he's seen in the Lord. And David says, I will extol you, O my God, my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your work to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. David's clearly reflecting back on God and the things that, on David's own life and the things he has done and the way he's seen God show up. And not only show up, but protect for him, care for him, provide for him. And he's saying, talking about the importance of reflecting on that and sharing that, not only with those around you, but leaving it for generations to come so that they don't forget. This morning, I'm going to invite Mr. Hillen up because he's going to share with us something we're all familiar with. Over the last year, the beginning process of the building of our new church. And he's going to share with you some of the things that he said. He started volume one of the amazing ways that God has shown up. And we expect a volume two also, but there's so many different things. So we ask him to limit it a little bit because this is offertory. So he was explaining to me a little while ago how difficult it was just to narrow it down to just a few things because God has shown up in so many different ways in the building of the church and the building of process. So he was gracious enough to say he would come up and share with the church some of the things that he's seen in this building.
Okay. Well, I guess we can officially declare that phase one of our plans are complete. We have received all of our certifications and our approvals from St. John's County, the Water Management District, and the Palm Valley Overlay District. We started out a little over a year ago. We had 7 months of plan design, meeting the county requirements, et cetera. And then once we got the actual construction started January 6th, we only took 5 months to do it. So typical planning regulations take a lot more. But that's not exactly what I wanted to talk about this morning, is that, yes, phase one is done. But when we started, and in Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. When we started, we didn't really have any plans put together. We certainly didn't have the funding. And, you know, we were fortunate to have a pastor that asked us to step out on faith. And that's what we did. And the Lord started blessing us with many different things. And there's so many things. I tried to narrow it down into just four things and quickly go through it. But one day I'll publish out the list of everything. But the first thing that we had to do was move the portable. And as you can see, we only had one place to put it. And we had a 25-year-old building. We didn't know if it could be moved or not. And we interviewed three companies to move the building. And we chose the best of the three. And we ended up delaying moving the building by a month or so. And in that time, the Lord was working, and he said, is the best of the three the best? And we started researching, and in Ocala and Palatka, you've got the largest number of mobile home dealers over there. And so we started calling to say, who sets your buildings? You know, because some of them are small, they don't have people that work full time. So, and the name of Hercules kept coming up. So we had Hercules come over, and you know, they were the best. Okay. They got the building moved, and everything went as we had planned. We had a week of one service to be down to get it moved and put back together, and they were a big part of that. The Lord just emphasized that the best of the three wasn't good enough. The second situation was we had a project that required us to do it in two parts. Do the back half, then the front half. But when we closed the front half down, how did we access the church? How do we get parking? How did people, we continued to operate the church? So Brent and Jackie next door, who owns the cemetery, graciously agreed to us to let us use their parking lot. When we looked at the plans initially, through God's own divine work, the plans aligned exactly where we could come in off their parking lot to create our parking lot. Our lot was 2.5 feet below theirs, but on the new plan elevation, when we built it up, it was within inches of making that level come through. So it all came together, and that was only through God's plan and design that we were able to do that. And at this point in time, I want to thank all those who worked the parking lots on both sides, because we had a lot of people that needed to get close to the church. They had canes or walkers, et cetera. And the people just come together to work those parking lots, sunshine, rain. And we can recall one rainstorm that Pastor Josh didn't have a dry clothes left on. But once we made that driveway through, and you know, you guys drove on dirt for a while, but we decided to pave that parking lot so that if the church needed additional parking, we could go through there to the cemetery, and vice versa, they could use that for their services. So that was just, we couldn't have done it without Brent and Jackie's help to do that. And we took down some tree limbs and drove right across their parking lots in order to get here, but we made it happen. The third thing was the Palm Valley Overlay District. And I had never dealt with them before, and I heard war stories about them. And that was my biggest fear, is that nobody ever got approved through Palm Valley District. So we had two meetings. I handled the first one, and Pastor James handled the second one. And he did a lot better than me, I can tell you. But the Lord placed us on the agenda in the right spot. In those two meetings, there was no entity, company come in that got approval. They were all sent back to rework and redo everything. And the Lord blessed us, and we went through both, got our approvals, and everything worked out just great. And lastly, the landscaper. As things go on and you look back, you see how the Lord has worked to just align everything. And there's critical areas in every plan as you go along. And when you hit that critical point, things have to happen for you to move on. And every time that we hit that critical point, the Lord had provided everything that we needed to get through and move forward. So we were there. So the landscaper, we We have to do what you call mitigation. When you take a tree down, if it's 6 inches, you got to replace that amount of inches with trees once you're done. So we took out about 283 inches of trees that we had to replace. Well, physically, the only place we had to put trees was on the border, and we didn't have enough room to do it. So we had to go back to the county and revise the plan and get them to approve the plan, et cetera. And so the landscaper that we had was going to do the trees, but again, the Lord was saying, is he the best? And we started researching again, and we found R&R Landscaping, who puts in $10 million worth of trees a year besides other landscaping. That comes out to about 9,500 trees that they plant throughout the city. Their crewing, the equipment they have, it was the best. So we notified the other landscaper that we were going with the other one, and he said, well, that's good. My equipment's down, and I'm not sure I can meet your schedule. So just the blessings that we went through there. The landscaper came out and he said, look, you need bubblers for all the trees. I'll put these in at cost. And we said, okay. And then he called a week later. We were going to do pine bark along the outside borders. He said, I've got about 42 pallets of bahia grass here that I can't use. Been sitting here a week. It's going to die. Can you take it? And I said, well, what's going to be the cost of it? What's going to cost me to put it down? He said, well, I'm going to do all that free for you. Just, I'll put it down. So about a week later, we put the trees in, done that. He come back out, and we had the church area where we're just going to spray and try to keep it controlled until we build the church building. And he said, look, I've got a company downtown that spent $400,000 for landscaping. They've changed it. And now I've got all this Bermuda. I've got about 65 pallets of Bermuda that I have no place to go for. And they told me to get rid of it. So I'm going to bring it out, and I'm going to lay it for you at no cost. So here the Lord had finalized everything that we needed. And then DNS, our contractor that did the parking lot, when we did the contracts with them, we were concerned about the cost because we were wanted to sign a contract that this is the cost we're going to charge. They looked at our soil samples. And for those that you remember the back of our property, it would be 3 and 4 feet deep in water back there when it rained. But the soil samples showed the soil good. So we estimated we were going to have to bring in about 100 loads of dirt and rock. We were going to have to take out about 47 loads of scraping the surface off, trees, stumps, etc., going out. So we signed the contract after a lot of discussion that this is what it is. If they had to bring in more dirt, DNS would consume it, the cost. If it was less, they would benefit from it. So the Lord, when we were digging the pond and we expected to see all this bad dirt, it was beautiful brown sand that came out of that, and we filled the parking lot. And they benefited by about 28 loads of sand, of dirt, that they didn't have to bring in. But they gave it back, a lot of it back to us. They poured the walkways for free. They gave us the concrete. We were only going to charge us concrete cost for the new pads we put out extending the church. And then the owner called last week and told him, said, look, I'm not even going to charge you for the concrete. I just want to donate that to the church. So the Lord just, when you see it, he just kept blessing us. And finally, one day, we all just had to stop get in the center of the parking lot and started praising the Lord for everything that he had done. So we're starting, or we're looking now towards phase two, going back to Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And we're just waiting on the Lord to provide for phase two. So that's where we're at, and praise the Lord.
This journey started probably 3 years ago or so. And quite honestly, just to share with you a little bit about the, we're not looking to build a building for the sake of building a building. It's not about the building. But as we've talked, it's the Lord has placed shepherds over this flock with the desire to serve and with the desire to care. And we were talking this morning about, you know, how any father and mother, but father who's been placed over a family, desires to provide for that family in the best way that they possibly can. And as that family begins to grow, you sometimes look for a new house. Sometimes you turn a dining room into a nursery. You know, you do different things, but your desire is to care for your family. And that's really what this building is about. It's not about building some huge, beautiful edifice. It's about our family. It's about people feeling like this is their home when they come. Like, these are my brothers, my sisters, my father, who are my brothers, my sisters, okay? So that's really what this is about, and about the people who want to serve the family and providing an area for them to be able to do that, an area for the kids to be able to grow up in and enjoy. The whole thing around the grass, it was killing us to watch the kids sitting on the steps of the portable instead of out running, but the field was dirt. So what do you do? Well, the Lord says, well, you need grass. And he didn't say you need St. Augustine, because anybody who has a little dog, they hate St. Augustine because it's too stiff. So the Lord says, you need soft grass. And so he gave us Bermuda. And so he's intimately involved in everything that we do, and he knows what our desires are. And our desires are not to build some edifice that says, look at us. Our desire is to have a home that people can come to, that they'll hear. You know, Scripture tells us to leave an inheritance. What better inheritance can we leave? This is one of the discussions that Bob and I have had a lot of, is, you know, what kind of a inheritance do we want to leave? And we think money is that inheritance, but it's not. It's the love of the Lord. And the inheritance that we have the opportunity to leave for our generations to come, that they would have a place that they could come to that feels like home, where you have people who, you know, Paul tells Timothy, find men who are faithful men, who can teach others. And so the place that in a world that's ever changing and people are looking for truth, and they're hungering for truth, but a place that they can come to and say, I've found home. And so this building has served very well for a long time, but we see additional people coming in and additional people who are looking for that truth, and we desire to serve them also. So that's a little bit about what's behind all of this activity. So, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for the way that you're intimately involved in our lives. Lord, you show us daily, if we'll just look, you're showing us daily the way that you love us, the way that you care for us. Lord, many times things come in shapes, forms that we would never have thought, but Lord, you're not confined by our imaginations. You can make things happen that we could never dream of, and you make them happen according to your will and according to your plan that we know you've had since before time began. Lord, we thank you for calling us into your family, and we thank you for just the way that you love and care for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.